getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday edition. You can hit us up on the 8th Floor and Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions. Clint Scott, Chris Need, Brennan Riker. So, it is a Hard Knock Life. Perfect. Fitting. Talking about the Jets. They were selected for the Hard Knocks.
Okay. See what you did there.
You know, right. It's also perfect for something else that's floating around.
Okay.
Snead-a-roo. Yeah. What position in football would you label as the Annie of the NFL right now?
The A-N-E?
The Annie.
The Annie?
The Annie.
Oh. No respect? Kind of the Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah.
Running back.
The running back position. Yeah. Man.
I mean, it's like everyone says, you got to have them, but you're not going to pay them.
It is it's tough to be out there. Now, from the fan side of things, the tag is still 10.091, but you saw some newsworthy official tags go through. One of those for the Dallas Cowboys is Tony Pollard, and he has signed his, so no holdout there. One being last year's rushing champ, Josh Jacobs, for the Raiders. And then he has Saquon Barkley as well. And they're looking at maybe those being holdouts. And that usually doesn't work out. I mean, you can ask Le'Veon Bell.
Ask Zeke.
Yeah.
I mean, it usually, because if you hold out and you come back and you happen to fumble in that first game, or you just happen to run out of gas, you're out of shape, or you're – something doesn't go right for you as a running back, boy, the fans turn on you in a hurry.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if you're a running back, it is wild over the past really 15 years. And you can go back to when running back was the premier position, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, those were the dudes.
The I-formation running back, Eric Dickersons, the Tony Dorsetts of the world. Those guys... You know, were the feature. You know, those guys were going to run the ball 30, 35 times a game, and the whole offense was set up around. You had to establish the run to be able to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And now it's the exact opposite. It's not even really the opposite. You don't need to run the ball to establish the pass.
So notably, and the side that I like about this is I want guys to stand up for their position. I want them to stand up for, you know, their guys. But at the same time, I kind of look at it and will kind of tilt my head to the side. I'm like, do you really think that? Because there's been some frustration with this kind of run, with like the Dalvin Cooks being cut.
Yeah.
With Austin Eckler, who wanted a better deal, wanted to be traded, couldn't find a home. Still with the Chargers, by the way. Somebody had said something on Twitter, I think it was a scout, that we have said before, and several people have said before, the second contract for a running back, the big-time contract, mm-hmm. is disappearing for a reason, right?
Yeah, because we can get another guy just like you for a lot less money, and we can put a saddle on him, ride him till we can't run anymore, and then get another guy. That's just the way it is for running backs in the NFL. If these guys want to get a bigger contract, become a receiver. Mm-hmm. It's the best way for a running back to get a second contract, become a receiver.
So this was a couple of thoughts from one Austin Eckler and also Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry being the premier running back in the past decade.
Yeah.
He's the outlier.
Him and Josh Jacobs are the most like the guys, the workhorse running backs of the 70s and early 80s.
So this is what Austin Eckler said. So this is the kind of trash that has artificially devalued one of the most important positions in the game. Everyone knows it's tough to win without a top running back, and yet they act like we are discardable widgets. I support any running back doing whatever it takes to get his bag. This from Derrick Henry. At this point, just take the running back position out of the game. Then the ones that want to be great and work as hard as they can to give their all to an organization just seems like it doesn't matter. I'm with every running back that's fighting to get what they deserve. Again, if you're a running back, this is tough because you're looking at offensive linemen, you're looking at receivers, you're certainly looking at quarterbacks mm-hmm. that are, I mean, you're looking at defensive ends that are just getting absolutely paid, and your position isn't getting phased out of the game, but the use of what it used to be is.
It's devalued.
Yeah.
It is getting devalued and marginalized every year. I mean, and if he wants to be upset, he needs to be mad at Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. Because Ezekiel Elliott got paid. He was the last guy to get paid. And then went out there and made brown in his pants and did a big pile of squat for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys ended up cutting him. And now, are they going to probably re-sign him right before the season? Yep. Here's your league minimum, Zeke.
Yeah, and it's going to be a steal for now a backup.
Absolutely. He's going to be great. And you're going to back up the franchise running back over there, making $10 million.
So I thought this was interesting with Austin Eckler's point, because it has been devalued. But really, when you look at it, and I'm not just trying to crap all over the running back position because I do think it's important, but when you look of like the high-end running back of, you know, you need that to win. Let me give you the leading rushers on the past decade's worth of Super Bowl teams, mm-hmm. and where they were in the rushing category and lined up. Last year, Isaiah Pacheco, he was 25th for Kansas City.
Mm. Yep.
When the Rams won it, Sony Michel, he was 18th.
Yep.
When Tampa Bay won it, Ronald Jones was 12th. When Kansas City won it the first time, Damian Williams was 39th.
Mm.
39th. Yeah. By the way, this is a name I did not expect to pop up twice. Sony Michel again with New England. He was 15th.
Mm.
And keep going down the list. There's two that were in the top 10. New England with LeGarrette Blount in 2017. LeGarrette Blount, who was also here twice, by the way, because he was on Philadelphia's at 22nd with them. But 8th with New England. And then all the way back to 2014, Marshawn Lynch was in the top 10 at 6.
He just here, so he ain't going to be fine.
You want to hear the last 10 rushing champs, how their teams have done?
Yeah.
2014, we'll start there. LeSean McCoy lost in the wild card round for Philadelphia.
Mm, very important.
2015, DeMarco Murray had a wild card win against Detroit.
DeMarco
beat
Murray
those Lions.
Confronted me in a bowl game this year.
Really?
Absolutely. Huh. He walked to the end of the Cheez-It Bowl, confronted me and me and our referee. He told me he was going to do things to me that were not... You could not say before 10 p.m. on television.
Did you tell him in his rushing champ year in 2015 they lost to Green Bay in the Des Cotted game?
Yeah.
2016, Adrian Peterson, Minnesota, lost in the wild card round. Mm. 2017, Zeke, Dallas, lost in the wild card round. Mm. 2018, Kareem Hunt, Kansas City, lost in the wild card round. Mm. There's a lot of lost in the wild card rounds here, by the way. The best run was Derrick Henry in 2020 when they lost to Kansas City in the AFC Conference Finals.
Mm.
But look at the last two. But Josh Jacobs missed the playoffs.
Missed the playoffs.
Jonathan Taylor missed the playoffs.
Mm.
This is where it's hard for a running back because your production doesn't always mean team value.
Running back is not, production at running back is not as important as you being able to pass block and you being able to be a pass receiver out of the backfield. Because in some of these offenses, you are essentially the fifth receiver, sometimes the fourth receiver. And if you can't do that, if you can't pass block, the reason why Zeke stuck around so long is because he was a dang good pass blocker. I mean, he could pass block and he could pick up blitzes.
That's why the Chiefs let Damian Williams walk.
Exactly.
Because he was not good. And this is why they kept Jerick McKinnon and made sure he came back, because he could catch out of the backfield and he had Patrick Mahomes back a lot.
Absolutely.
He had a highlight package this year of taking out blitzing linebackers.
Austin Eckler, if you want to stay in the league and you want to get paid, learn to pick up that blitzing linebacker. Otherwise, go to the USFL, brother. It's XFL for you, boy. Maybe CFL. You can get it down on first and second down because they're punting on third down in that league, brother.
And I know if you're the collective running back group, it is frustrating to be that one or two handful of running backs that really shine. But the fact of the matter is you can find a grounded pound home in college, right?
Yeah, you can.
You
but
can
it's
shine
not
in high school
anymore.
The NFL, it makes more sense to get a collective group of solid running backs
Absolutely.
Than it is to just outwardly pay and essentially waste money.
The days of the 30 touch a game running back are long gone, dude.
Yeah.
Long gone. Hey, we're not 33 yards in a cloud of dust anymore. We're going to send you between the tackles and let you get that. And let's see if you can, you know, go 2-2-6 and get a first down and just ride you all the way down the field. Nah, no more, dude.
And so as much as you hate to say it, if you're an owner, if you're in charge of these decisions, you're not doing your team a service if you do that and box yourself in.
I
mean,
if I want to draft a running back, how's his pass blocking? How's he pick up the blitzes, man? Does he catch the ball on the backfield? I don't care. I can get anyone that can run 3 yards of a cloud of dust.
And you're seeing multiple cases of rookie contract running backs making their mark.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move on and do the same things. I think the Chiefs are about to do that with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Absolutely.
He was great his first couple of years. Now dealing with injuries. You get a Pacheco from last year. Shines. You go, well, what's Edwards-Helaire going to ask for? That's what we'll decide. It is the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Back with more next.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Yeah, we haven't played a game in a while. We kept you around the first second. We might lose you on the second. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brendan Riker, you have the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score. Thanks for joining us today on a Tuesday. Jamie, the short career so far that Patrick Mahomes has had, we all know, has been phenomenal. And every once in a while, you just see a random stat, usually a playoff-type stat, which is crazy what he's already built up, again, in his young career, that just sticks with me and stands out. Well, I saw one yesterday on the Twitterverse that just, again, like hit me. Like, you just don't think about some of these stats until they're right in front of your face. So we're going to play a little game because this is a – this should be one that I think you'll do pretty well in. Now, Patrick Mahomes has won 11 playoff games so far in his career. Those 11 wins are more than 8 other franchises in their existence. So you're a baseball guy. We'll do this true baseball style, 3 strikes, and you're out. We'll see how far you can get on the 8 teams that have less playoff wins than one Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. 11 is the number.
11 is the number.
Okay, give me the Texans.
Yep, they've only have 4.
Give me the Titans.
All right, that's first one.
Okay.
Steelers.
Give me the Browns.
A lot of history with the Browns. Strike 2.
Give me an exit from this game. Give me Detroit.
There you go. They have 7. That's the second fewest.
Give me the Cardinals.
7 as well. They're on the list. So I guess tied with Detroit.
Can I take Detroit again? Give me the Panthers.
They have 9. They're on it.
Give me the Falcons.
They have 10.
How many do I have?
Let's see. You have...
There's 8 of them?
There's 8. And you have 4.
Seems like I have way more than 4. Like 8. Give me the Buccaneers. Yes, I'm done.
You're trying to get out. The Patriots. It's the Patriots. You want to play European baseball rules and have an extra strike in there? I don't know if that's a thing.
I feel like I'm at the end of my rope right now.
Okay.
So
so newer teams, the Panthers are on this list.
I thought I said them.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. 5. I'm out. Throw me out.
Yeah.
I was wrong. So you go 5 of 8. I'm sorry. Just didn't mark it down. Jacksonville Jaguars, newer team. They have 8.
Where did I miss that?
And then 2 other teams with the Falcons have 10 that he's one up on. That is the Cincinnati Bengals and the New Orleans Saints.
Okay. Yeah, the only one I feel like I swung and missed at there, I should have got the Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad miss.
Yeah. But hey,
don't be sad. Five out of eight ain't bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. All right, Brennan, you got them all. Did you get all eight in there?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Good answer.
I would have. I feel like I would have given it away if I would have said think about newer teams. Yeah. But I'm not into giving hints.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed Cincinnati.
Right.
For some reason, I was wanting to guess the Jets.
Yeah. The Browns are an interesting case because I understand why you went there because it's just been so miserable for them.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is they just have all the like Jim Brown history and stuff like that count for it, which feels like cheating, but still.
No, that's good.
The wins are there. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Patrick Mahomes.
Way to go.
More playoff wins than eight franchises. Yeah, hopefully that number grows for, at least over here. Well, you hope that for Patrick Mahomes, too.
I do. I hope that after he gets traded that he has a lot of success wherever he is.
I
really would prefer the Raiders, maybe the Chargers or the Broncos, but really I'll take anywhere.
That is hurtful, RCJH mm-hmm. over there. Mm-hmm. That is just mean.
Jamie's trying to cut deep.
Well, so this has been a discussion before. I'm a robot. I really don't cry at all anyway. It's not that I don't get sad. I get sad at things. But, especially with sports, I just, even when the Chiefs got the big one the first time of my lifetime, like the Royals, whenever they went on that run there for a couple of years, never really have been a sports crier,
mm-hmm.
whether celebratory or, like Sneed said, when he cried when Tony Dorsett ended up at the Broncos. I might cry if the Chiefs just out of nowhere went like, you know what, we don't want Patrick Mahomes. We've had too much success. Let's make it fair for everybody.
Anybody else out there not surprised that the guy who doesn't own a Christmas tree doesn't cry? He has no emotions? Shocker. Tear ducts don't exist. There's no heartstrings from this guy. I cry a lot.
Do you know what?
Usually about 12:59.
Sulking as you walk in the room. I would believe if you said no, you have a scheduled two times a day.
Yeah. There are a lot of movies that make me just kind of tear up a little bit. I wouldn't say cry. Just kind of give you the feels, you know?
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
I want proud. To be that way because I feel like it stands out.
Proud dad moments do it to me really bad too.
Yeah. When Kronk learned to sit on command as a dog dad, I swelled up, but it just, the shears weren't there.
You're doing better than I am because I still can't get those kids of mine to sit on command or stop talking on command. Stop arguing with their mother on command.
No. Bad. Don't make me roll up a newspaper.
You know what me and my roommate watched the other night? The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, well done. There you go for Kronk.
You mentioned Kronk, and I said, hey, uh-huh. I got home, and I said, hey, we got to watch this movie.
Mm-hmm. Big sharp rocks at the bottom, most likely. Bring it on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Good choice.
I had no idea what the connection was there with Brennan. Just wanted to let you guys know.
Kronk is named after an Emperor's New Groove character. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, the dumb bodyguard.
Yeah, I figured that out. Yep.
You said you didn't get the connection.
Yeah, I mean, initially I didn't understand. I didn't know it was a dumb bodyguard. I just figured all of a sudden, mm-hmm. context clues there said it was something from that movie. Yeah.
So if we would have given you fake context clues, we could have really messed with you right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Once you have kids, it changes your emotional landscape. That from NY Dad. I'd believe that. Is that true for you? Rat tail Jamie went away and tear duct Jamie entered?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I remember being really bothered by sports when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I think I've always been a little bit of a softy.
Softy.
Sissy.
A weenie.
Mm-hmm.
That was always a strange put down. A weenie. It made the person who said a weenie sound like a weenie.
Mm-hmm.
You're a weenie. Steven said, wow, Jameson, Clint has a Christmas door. A sure sign of two crazy cat ladies. That is the reason why I have the Christmas door. I mean, for the three cats. We actually have, we're watching two little kittens for my sister-in-law right now while they're on vacation.
That's fun.
Little, and if that doesn't make you tear up, I don't know what will. The sound of eight little pitter-pat paws.
We are watching the neighbor's dog while they're out of the country, and I don't think it's a Chihuahua, but it looks really close to a Chihuahua. So we want to be nice to the dog, and we bring it over to the house quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And it's got the personality that you would expect out of a Chihuahua. Very, you know.
Ferocious.
Very social, running around all the time. And you can just only imagine the looks that he gets from Winfield.
The horror you brought into this house.
Winfield just looks at us and like, what are we doing here? Why is this
I'm putting
obnoxious?
This on the list of bad decisions you've made.
This is our house. This is not how we live.
What's his name?
Bella. It's actually a girl.
What's Bella doing at like 1 o'clock tomorrow? Mm-hmm. She want to come to a live spot? It's the bottom line of 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Hanging out with you on a Tuesday, live from the First United Bank Studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. Tell you what, if you call that number and you don't know what's on the supper menu tonight, Psychic Brennan will tell you what's on the docket.
Hamburger helper.
Just going to do that for every single person.
Yes. Well, be the different types. Your deluxe hamburger, stroganoff.
You're going to give anyone tuna?
No. I would never do that to someone.
I like that one, too.
You like tuna helper? Mm-hmm. I do, too.
It's not bad,
yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Don't double down. You the other day when he wasn't here, you're like, that's garbage. There's and like anyone that likes it is garbage.
There's like the bacon cheeseburger version. Not the tuna helper, but yeah, there's all sorts of good versions.
And you can always like spice it up, put on a little extra flair if you want. I like putting in chili flakes in all of mine, make it a little spicy.
That's what Clint does with his outfits. He likes to spice them up with a little extra flair.
Mm-hmm. There's a Viking bedazzled on the back of my pants. I'm a weird mixture of words.
That's why he wears a boutonniere to work every day.
It's a boutonniere for a buccaneer, Jamie. That's what they say. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Bullfighter said nobody likes you, Clint. And then got mad at Brennan for trashing Nebraska.
I wasn't trashing them. I'm being honest. Like, that was a good 3-9 team.
Good 3-9 team that doesn't have the same coach anymore. So, is the mug purchases like when you're traveling? My kid always does the thing where you smash a quarter and it stamps a scene on it. Ooh, that was a fun thing growing up. Mm. The mug is just, it can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be on a trip. The hat certainly is. The hat, I'll get a hat on every single trip. That's like a true vacation trip. But the mug will just be, I mean, I could be walking down the street mm-hmm. and a random mug salesman could be on the corner and I'd be like, oh, I think I do need a mug here. Thank you.
A random salesman mugged. Yeah.
Because I mugged him.
I do, as far as the travel thing goes, I think mine's a little bit different than most people. I like coasters. Oh. Like I have coasters from different national parks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That I use.
My wife does the magnet, but the coaster is a cool one.
Yeah.
Do you use the coasters, or are they just a collection?
No, I use them.
Well, I would assume your house with you would have to use a coaster. You don't want, like, water rings.
They don't end up in the living room or anything like that. They end up in the basement, yeah.
Do you, like, rotate them, or?
No.
You're like, I'm feeling the Michael Jordan coaster tonight, or I'm feeling the Yosemite National Park.
No, just whatever one's closest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brennan, do you have any travel things that you like to buy?
If we're in a college town, I'll buy a hat. So I have this.
What if you hate the college?
There's not too many that I hate. Obviously, if I go to Austin, I'm not buying anything burnt orange.
Mm-hmm. See, if that's a rule you live by, you're gonna have to like really change up your route. That's dangerous.
It's like vacation. Like I'm not gonna go to Austin to vacation.
What was that?
I don't think I could. I couldn't do it. Besides, obviously, my hometown of Syracuse and mm-hmm. the Red Raiders. I don't think I could buy another school. Maybe when my children go there, and that's changed now that I have a LCU student in the house. I have LCU stuff.
Well, okay. They're not. That's not like a school that could ever even really be competing,
right?
With Texas Tech.
True. But I don't think I could, you know, go on vacation to whatever Boulder and buy a University of Colorado sweatshirt. Can't do it.
I will say, Clint, LCU is undefeated against Texas Tech in football, though.
And they won the last baseball game.
I was about to say, you had a sport where they played recently. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't recently.
More recently than that, though, in the recency scale.
It was like 2015 or something.
That's fair.
I think it was Tim Tadlock's first year.
Could be right. Could be 13. You're right. You might be right. Yeah, I could believe that. Somewhere in that era.
You ever been to Lawrence? Out of curiosity.
Don't.
I passed through Kansas once. No, actually, a few times. Just skip it. We
did you see any lid stores or any half places?
We kept going. When we were in Kansas, it's like, keep rolling. Keep rolling.
Don't get out of the car. We'll catch something. Head straight to Manhattan.
Roll them up.
Yeah. Roll them up.
I'll just go straight to Manhattan. Yeah, right. No one's going there for a vacation. Gloomiest place on earth. All right, let's get in a question of the day.
Jamie's question of the day is brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
Right. We really need, like, we can pack up multiple sponsors on this thing, like like Dumpster Doobies.
Brendan's Boot Repair.
What was it? Chuck's Trick Handshakes. It looks like two spiders making baby spiders. Okay, question of the day. The TBT, which technically is the basketball tournament in that setting. I love the when people say the TBT tournament, because then it's like the basketball tournament. If you're being... Yeah. But
we had fun with this morning off the air, because Chuck is one who gets very angry and bothered by people saying the NIT tournament. Okay?
Interesting.
He's very bothered by it. But he says the TBT. And so I pointed out to him that he was being a little bit hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were saying the basketball tournament, which is the same as the NIT tournament.
Yeah.
Just but different. And I it was quite an eye-opening experience for Mr. Hines.
What did he say? Was he just shock and awe?
No, he's like, yeah, that's you're making a good point here.
Yep. So when he came back with it, was he like in TBT?
Because you don't say... I mean, how would you refer to the TBT then?
You would go, the Red Raiders will play in TBT.
And you'd sound like a fool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I do that anyway, so. I don't need the grammar part of it.
Did you see the guy just throw his racket?
Yeah.
He didn't even come to the net with it. He just lost the match point and then threw it.
Well, that thing's not making its way home. That one's garbage. That's the worst racket he's ever owned. Awesome. It is.
Maybe he got rid of it early because he was afraid he might use it on his opponent.
Emil Kuzavubi, he is upset with that racket.
That was greatness.
I wish he would have broken it. The TBT tournament will be tomorrow, game one for the Air Raiders. They'll play the Purple Hearts. We'll have it on Double T97.3 starting at 7:30. I'm just curious... What player on the roster, returning Red Raider, are you most excited? Oh, he did hit the ground before he threw it. He did break it. Yeah, that's absolutely not getting restrung. Which player from this year's roster are you most excited to see in action again?
Good question. I think John Roberson. I think he's the oldest one in the group.
Yeah.
Still playing professionally overseas and playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's been a long time. Probably second on my list would be Tariq, just because I love his style of play and he's so much fun.
Yeah.
But I would go with, I mean, I don't know, man. I loved Tyrick Gotcher as well.
I mean, I was wondering, because
he's a clutch guy and a class act, and I mean, he hit so many big shots for us. All of the above, Clint. That's my answer.
And I'm like, I wondered if you would go a Roberson or a Gotcher, because you'd be more likely than like Brennan and I, because you saw them more. And Brennan, how old? Let's see, when was what was Roberson's last year here?
I can't remember. Something like that. I don't know. It's been a while.
I started paying attention to Texas Tech basketball about 2014, 2015, when they were under Tubby Smith.
Mm-hmm. Brendan, you have an answer or three answers like Jamie?
I got to go Davide Moretti. We saw a couple players.
That's a good one.
From the 2019 team on last year's Air Raiders roster. I don't think Davide got to compete due to travel and all that different stuff, but he should be back tomorrow, so I'm really excited to see Davide.
I think my answer is Matt Mooney. In his year here, I loved watching Matt Mooney play. So, and he came here as a shooter, and he was a defensive plus for you in that year. And on top of the thing that I liked about Matt Mooney was he struggled shooting the ball coming in as a shooter and still just played lights out for you and was a difference maker. I love guys that do that.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brennan Riker behind the glass taking care of us as we're live from the First United Bank studio. Jamie's about to tee us up. Technical foul. Yeah, that as well. About to put on a statement on the tee. There we go. And let us hack at it. Maybe tell him he's wrong. If we disagree, you can as well. Feel free to on the Yates Pouring Center chat line. Or you can call Brennan on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973, and just scream into his ear that Jamie's wrong. Scream it. Loud as possible.
But then they won't, if they scream at me, then they won't get the hamburger helper of the day.
You can get both. Just wait until they're done screaming and respond with lasagna. Underrated flavor. That's an under... What? It's tomato sauce. And noodles and hamburger helper version of it. What's terrible about that?
I don't like lasagna.
Well, they probably won't like the lasagna hamburger helper.
Probably not.
But you never know if you don't try it. All right, floor is yours. Good, sir.
All right, we're going to go to Red Raider football. I'm here to tell you today that the Texas Tech football team will not have a 4-game winning streak this year.
Oh.
Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong.
Brennan, would you please play the You Are Wrong?
You are wrong!
Now, I'm not saying it is a layup or a gimme, but... One, I expect you to clearly pound Tarleton State into the ground. I expect you to beat West Virginia. I expect you to beat Houston. So there's three of your four. And then on the tail end of that would be that road game at Baylor. I'm expecting you to be a better team than Baylor. Now, you were also a better team than what Baylor was last year, and one Richard Reese ran all over you. And at the line of scrimmage, you were dominated. But I think that
yes,
problem...
He was a Richard.
Yes, big Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, you know, or knowing and remembering what it was like last year here in Lubbock, I still don't... I think Baylor's going to be incredibly average. And I think you will at least be above average. And even though that is a road game, I think you should go into Baylor and win that one this year. So I think that is your 4-game stretch right there that I would pick and that I would bet on.
Okay. You are wrong.
I'm going to agree with Clint in that stretch. I don't see a stretch outside of that where you'll win four in a row. Now, looking at that, before Charlton, obviously Oregon's going to be a tough game. But you wonder if that could be the start of it. Because if you beat Oregon, then there's a chance that you could go beyond four and get to five. And then once you've built up a little momentum, where could you take that beyond Kansas State and UCF? So I'm going to say you're wrong. That stretch between Tarleton State and Baylor is where you can win four. But it wouldn't surprise me if it does end up starting with Oregon.
If
you think it's going to start with Oregon, why doesn't it start with Wyoming? Do you think we're going to lose to Wyoming and beat Oregon?
No.
Okay, so you're saying the Red Raiders are going to start 6-0.
It could. I'm not saying they'll start 6-0, but there's a chance.
If you did, for this scenario, love for it to happen. Clearly, if you went 6-0, and you had wins at Baylor, and then the biggest one up there, you expected clearly to be the Oregon one there, week two. What's a disappointing ending record? If you went 6-0 to start out the year, like if you go 3-3 on the back half, is suddenly that like a 9-3 that you're like, ah, I can't believe we went 9-3 after that start?
Yeah, I think I would have you at 4-2. So yeah, I think 9-3 would be disappointing if you started 6-0. Mm. Yeah, because I mean. You could go lost Kansas State, win BYU, win TCU, win Kansas, win UCF, lost Texas. And I feel like you're not being too much of a homer there.
No, I mean, that's that would essentially put you where the preseason media poll projected you, because Kansas State and Texas would still be the top two as expected. And with that, I would assume, depending on what like an Oklahoma or you're someone that you don't play does, mm-hmm. put you anywhere between the third and fifth range, which is pretty much on the mark mm-hmm. with what's been expected of you. So, did you believe in your?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are dead on in the four that you pick being the stretch that would be the easiest. And obviously the one that scares me the most there is at Baylor. Mm-hmm. Just the way that they, I know it was just one game, one season, but just really felt like they had your number last year. And if that game was at home this year, I'd be a lot more confident, as many people probably would be. But I just think that's a pretty big challenge. To me, that's a toss-up game going mm-hmm. to Waco.
And this could be an undoing type sentence. And I know it wasn't – he wasn't the one who beat you. And really, it started, like I said, up front. I am just such a non-believer of Blake Shapen. But that's where I think the mediocrity starts. Now, he made a couple big throws, but yeah, he didn't do that against a lot of other teams.
It was just that they dominated you up front.
Yeah, and I think you'll be better in that category. And the other question, too, is, which is something that is a concern for me, is just flat out, what do you look like on the road? Can you make those one or two extra plays that you couldn't at a Kansas State
yeah.
or at a TCU?
Nope.
Can you get those to go your way? And find out sooner than later, coming down the pipe here for college football. Do you think that there will be much made out of Joey McGuire returning to Baylor in that matchup?
I think the matchup with Baylor, there's something to that, just because, you know, it was kind of the one game you had last year where you just kind of got dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could throw NC State into the mix too. But I don't think it's specifically to him going to Waco.
Yeah. And last year that game was so weird because you had, I thought that was at least a conversation piece that was brought up last year. But then you also had Patrick Mahomes coming back to Lubbock and
sure.
him having his name put up on the stadium. And you'd been so good at home. And it was a weird storm that you look back at that game and go, that one was the one that hurt to me the most last year. It wasn't the one you almost took against TCU and had some maybe calls that didn't go your way. It wasn't the Kansas State not being able to tackle their quarterback at all. That Baylor one at home, that one sucked.
What would give you the most confidence?
Yeah, I'll take the disappointment of TCU as the worst one for me.
What would give you the most confidence entering that Baylor game that you can win that game? What scenario would lead you to being super confident in going into the week that you play at Waco that you would beat Baylor?
You beat the first five teams by 50 each.
Yeah, your point total to your opposing team's point total is 500 to nothing at this point in the game.
That's the sarcastic answer. The real answer is just that you play really, really well to get to 5-0 before you go into that matchup. You know, being able to stop the run because you didn't do a great job of that against Baylor last year. So that would probably give me a little more confidence if you were, you know, if you handled Oregon's run game pretty well.
And I do think that you will get a good running test, even though West Virginia is that team's going to be bad, but that's going to be their strength on offense is running the ball, whether it be from a quarterback standpoint or a running back standpoint. But add that in because I like that as a start. But then for me also in the mix, I mean, go and just take care of Wyoming. Look great on the road there. Go into West Virginia and just beat them. It doesn't have to be a 75-0 drubbing of the Mountaineers, but just go in and have a no-doubt type of win and show me that the two times that you've played on the road that you're not making some of the same mistakes that you were last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll feel really good about that. And I think I would still feel good with a 6-0 would be great. But if you were 5-1 and that loss was to Oregon and it was a close one, you went, oh, man, could have went either way, I'd still feel really confident going into Waco. Into the toilet bowl. It's bottom line 100.7 the score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 the score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. With Scott, Jamie Lynch, Brennan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. I feel like we've seen a ton of maybe this isn't an outlier year, but it just seems to me that we've seen a bunch of weird walk-off type wins across the league.
Maybe.
And maybe it's just maybe it's the same number and it's just stuck out to me more. But
possibly.
Yeah. I mean, it's Strohs fell because of one in game two against the Angels earlier.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Bad
double
way to
turn,
lose one.
Double play turn attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need a walk-off pickle.
Oh, that would be great. Mm. Yeah.
Somebody throws it away or he just beats it?
I think it's more like a throw home gets away from the catcher.
Okay. Well, but with these new rules at home plate, feels like if you get the catcher in a pickle, he's going to be in the baseline in between home and third, so he's automatically safe without the ball. Yeah.
What I want to see, and you know, I'll pitch this to a handful of MLB teams, and they'll just have to, you know, have both of them fall out verbatim. But I want to see a tie game, bottom of the ninth. Hit into right field, and as he's going around for the triple, he's greatly misjudged how close it could be, and the baseball is waiting for him there at third base. No doubt he's going to get tagged out, so he does the cartoon multiple-step stop. He turns around to go to second. It's thrown to second base. He goes back to third. So the next man in line in the pickle throws it to him. He turns towards second, and that guy just throws it well over the head, and he scores on an inside the Parker. So I'll write that script for everybody.
Okay.
I bet we could talk the A's into it.
Yeah, probably so.
Can we find a dancing partner?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. Hey, you are a known fan of Guinness World Records, right?
Yes.
We've talked about some great ones, whether it be trampoline base. That's been the biggie. That's one of the greatest feats known to man. We did a ping pong ball one with Harlem Globetrotters a few months ago. I saw a new one that was set today in Idaho. I want to see how close you guys think you could get to this. Because I actually am somewhat confident that I would reach the hour mark on this. I don't know if I'm reaching the set time, though. So there's a man there in Idaho named David Rush. He's got more than 250 Guinness World Records under his belt. And he broke another one by balancing an umbrella on his finger for 3 hours, 46 minutes, and 16 seconds. He said some of the largest obstacles to breaking that record for longest duration balancing an umbrella on one finger were overcoming fatigue and the monotony of standing and sitting still during this attempt. Now, he broke. It's still got to be confirmed, but chances are that it will be. What the current record was 3 hours, 31 minutes, and 43 seconds. So I've always said we need to just find something that's not set and set it because there's no standards. I thought this was going to be one of those, and someone already held this record, and he just went and broke it.
He broke it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a bad deal.
How close do you think you're getting?
I don't have time for that.
You don't have 3 hours? Well, the great thing is you can walk and balance, hopefully, if you're really good. I'm going to do really great at that.
Yeah.
The remote's a little counterbalanced.
Think I beat it?
I don't think I can beat it. I think I could get an hour. But after what I just tried to do with the remote.
An hour?
Maybe not. Yeah, because I've done it with I would assume it's the same as, you'll be proud of me, I've done this with a tennis racket when I was a kid. Or paddles in gym class. That's what we used to do when we were bored. And it felt like you could, maybe I'm being overconfident, but it felt like you could just sit there forever. As long as your arm didn't get tired.
Mm. Is there a record? I mean, he did that with an umbrella. Is there a record to do it with a pickleball paddle?
If not, this could be the one that we go out that's not set.
That's right.
Ooh, we should do amount of pickleball paddles broken in a minute and just let Jamie go to town.
Now we're talking.
All right, let's go from there to a story about a burrito.
And now, the bottom line takes a peek in at peak human beings.
I try not to do back-to-back days with these and save it for truly special stories. this one got me, so I felt like we had to do back-to-back, Jamie.
Okay.
A 46-year-old woman in Florida, which is a great way to start a story, is facing charges after accidentally hitting a random person in the face with
a baguette.
That's a pretty good guess, actually.
A pickleball racket.
It's a paddle.
Yeah, it's a paddle.
Not a racket.
Waddle.
They don't get
the paddle.
They don't get the right to use the term racket.
I was trying to think of a word that rhymed with paddle, and I thought I probably shouldn't yell straddle with the paddle. No, it was with a burrito.
Oh, shit. You mentioned burritos a little while ago.
Yeah. It happened Wednesday at a restaurant in St. Petersburg called Rick's Reef. She was arguing with a guy and threw her burrito at him, and she missed and hit someone else with said burrito. Her intended target hasn't been identified, but it might be her boyfriend. He's 66. So 20 years older, and they've been having issues. She just got arrested last month for punching him in the face. But those charges were dropped after the burrito incident.
And it was her fiancé.
Wedding's going to be great. After the burrito incident, she left the restaurant, but she lives just down the street. So cops caught up with her nearby. They described her as not cooperative. Shocker. Mm-hmm. She's facing...
Shocker.
She's facing charges for disorderly conduct. And I wish they would have said charges of disorderly conduct and weaponizing a burrito. I also wanted them to go in context with this, with like, it was a ground beef burrito with sour cream, cheese, onions. Sir, this is a Wendy's. So I can see how much more heft. Because I assume if you put potatoes in a burrito, that's going to have more heft than if you did like a lighter one, like a pulled chicken burrito or something like that. Or did you really get dangerous and like you wanted some crunch, so you put some tortilla chips in the burrito? Because now it's got edges, right? Now it's basically got fried razor blades in there.
Yeah, a little more girth to it, a little more weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some can do salt a little more damage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, oh, he was hit with a bat. Oh, no, is he okay? Well, it was a wiffle ball bat. Oh. It's like, well, he's hit with a burrito. Oh, no. Well, it was a chicken burrito. Oh, it couldn't hurt that much. Didn't even have rice in it.
Rice might fly into your eyes.
Rice bomb. We got this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Someone pointed something out and Clint stopped saying it. Why doesn't that work when we point out silly things you say now? You keep saying them. Which is a good point. I get what you're coming from. The RBI thing, it was more of a... I'd never thought about it before. And so it was after. It wasn't like someone mad at me, like, why are you saying RBI? It was like, you know, it's runs batted in, so the S is already at the end of runs. It doesn't need it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about it and then started using what made more sense to me, sort of thing. But I see where you're coming from. It's a great point, actually.
I always think of...
So people on the chat line can request that you stop saying things and you'll stop?
Okay. I didn't say that.
I guess said some stuff in here.
Stop saying Mariners.
Yes, please.
Stop saying hip hip ole when referring to Ole Miss.
Yippee.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.